Welcome to the Model Railroader, your ultimate destination for all things railroading. From trains.com, we bring you step-by-step modeling and construction projects, insightful reviews, tips from the experts, and more. This program is proudly presented by Aftersight, a community hub for audio news, entertainment, and resources. Find us at aftersight.org. This program is intended to be used solely by individuals who are blind or have low vision. All aboard!
Thank you for joining us for the Model Railroader magazine, read by Jason Consul. Today we will be reading the following articles: News and Reviews, and Ask Model Railroader. The first article is News and Reviews, conducted by Cody Grivno and Bryson Sleppy. Rapido Trains HO Scale EMD GP38. An Electromotive Division GP38 diesel locomotive is now available in HO scale from Rapido Trains. The four-axle road switcher features plastic and die-cast metal construction and body-mounted metal couplers. Electromotive Division produced the GP38 from January 1966 through December 1971. During the course of the production run, 733 units were built. The four-axle road switcher was rated at 2,000 horsepower and equipped with a 16-cylinder 645 diesel engine. The sample we received is decorated as BNSF Railway 2157, part of the railroad's 2155 through 2189 series. The 2157 was built in May 1970 as Penn Central 7827. The locomotive was acquired by Burlington Northern on May 15, 1985, becoming the railroad's 2157. Following the merger between BN and Akison Topeka and Santa Fe in 1995, the GP38 joined the BNSF railway fleet. It was repainted in BNSF's Heritage One scheme on March 4, 1998. The Rapido GP38 features a multi-piece plastic body with many factory-applied parts. Among the universal details are metal side handrails with plastic stanchions, see-through etched metal steps, and rooftop fans with plastic housings, etched metal grills, and separate fan blades. Underframe details include air filters, traction motor cables, and working ground lights above the front truck on both sides. Railroad-specific features on units decorated for BNSF Railway include a 2,600-gallon fuel tank, modified MU receptacles, front and rear ditch lights, and a blanked-out headlight between the number boards, parentheses, the headlight is accurately located, correction, the headlight is accurately relocated on the low short hood, close parentheses. Our sample is neatly decorated in BNSF Railway's Heritage One paint scheme. For the most part, the lettering, paint, and detail placement match prototype images. The BNSF lettering on the conductor's side of the long hood should be moved forward by two engine compartment doors. The grab irons on the short hood are painted white, but should match the body color. Drawings of the EMD GP38 were published in the 1970 Car and Locomotive Cyclopedia of American Practices. The dimensions of the Rapido model match published data. The sample we received has an ESU LockSound V5 sound decoder. I first tested the GP38 at the workbench using an NCE power cab. At step 1, the model moved at 0.6 scale miles per hour. At step 28, the four-axle road unit achieved a top speed of 64 scale miles per hour. The top speed on full-size GP38 diesels ranged from 71 to 83 miles per hour. Then I took the HO GP38 over to our Winston-Salem southbound for further testing. The model navigated the number 4 turnouts and 30-degree crossing without issue. If your model railroad needs a 4-axle road switcher, check out the HO scale EMD GP38 from Rapido Trains. Though it's sold out at the manufacturer, you can still find models at hobby shops. Signed, Cody Grivno, Senior Editor. Facts and Features. Price: direct current, $239.95. With ESU LockSound V5 Sound Decoder, $349.95. Manufacturer: Rapido Trains Incorporated, located at 500 Alden Road, Unit 21, Markham, Ontario, Canada, L3R5H5. RapidoTrains.com. Era: January 1966 to present. Varies depending on paint scheme. Road names: BNSF Railway, Atkinson, Topeka, and Santa Fe, Baltimore and Ohio, Burlington Northern, Conrail, CSX, Norfolk Southern, High Short Hood, Penn Central, and Southern Railway, High Short Hood. Low Short Hood unless otherwise noted. 1-4 road numbers per scheme. Features: body-mounted metal couplers, 0.020 of an inch high on both ends. Metal wheel stubs mounted on plastic drive axle gears, correctly gauged. Minimum radius, 18 inches. Weight, 1 pound, 0.3 ounces. Next is the Aurora Miniatures N Greenbrier 7550 boxcar. A Greenbrier 7,550 cubic foot capacity double plug door boxcar is the first N-scale freight car from Aurora Miniatures North America Incorporated. The injection molded plastic model features many separate factory applied parts, metal wheel sets, and body mounted plastic Aurora Janney plastic knuckle couplers. The Aurora Miniatures boxcar is based on the 2016 to present version of the Greenbrier prototype with grid-shaped sides, Titan Series plug doors, and a combined diagonal and X-panel roof. Approximately 20,000 of the cars are in service throughout North America. The sample we received is decorated as TTX parentheses TBOX close parentheses 644496, part of the freight car leasing companies 644461 through 644999 series, built by Greenbrier between December 2021 and March 2022. The full-size cars transport a variety of products, including appliances, beer, canned goods, lumber, steel, and wine, among other items. The N-scale model features a one-piece plastic body. Molded parts on the sides and ends include the ladders, crossover handrails, route card holders, and handbrake. Factory-applied plastic parts include the door rods, brake wheel, uncoupling levers, and train line hoses. The crossover platforms are see-through, etched metal parts. Like its HO scale offering, the underbody on the Aurora Miniatures N-scale boxcar is loaded with details. The draft gear boxes are two-piece, screw-mounted plastic castings. The stringers and nailable steel floor detail are molded. The center sills, cross-bearers, cross-ties, and bolsters are a separate plastic casting. The air reservoir, brake cylinder, control valve, empty/load equipment, and piping are also part of the casting, but have a freestanding appearance. The brake rods and brake pipe are formed wire. The screw-mounted 100-ton trucks have separate brake beam detail and feature raised foundry data. All four of the 36-inch metal wheel sets were tight when checked against a National Model Railroad Association standards gauge. A gentle twist of the wheels on the axle brought them into gauge. The roof is a separate plastic part. It's painted to look like fresh galvanized steel. Like the full-size cars, it has three X panels on each end and seven diagonal panels in the middle. Our review sample is painted TTX Company Yellow with black doors. Placement of the Heralds, assorted data, and FRA-224 yellow stripes matches full-size cars from the same series. Most of the data on the side is on the upper half of the car body. This is done on prototype cars to prevent it from being covered with graffiti. There were a few minor paint discrepancies. The automatic equipment identification tags should be gray, the handbrake should be black, and the uncoupling lever handles should be white. The train line hoses are molded in yellow, but should be rubber black with silver glad hands. General dimensions for the 7550 boxcar are listed on the Greenbrier Company's website. The Aurora model closely follows the prototype. I tested the compatibility of the Aurora Jenny couplers with freight cars from Atlas, Broadway Limited, Micro Trains, and Rapido. I was able to couple the cars in one or two attempts. Since the Aurora Jenny couplers lack trip pins, I was unable to use a between-the-rail magnet to separate cars. Instead, I used a Rixpick uncoupling tool, which worked well in all instances. The manufacturer notes that the draft gear boxes on the Greenbrier 7550 boxcar will accept aftermarket couplers. Congratulations to Aurora Miniatures North America on entering the N-scale marketplace. If this car is any indicator, we have a lot to look forward to in 1 to 160. Signed, Cody Grivno, Senior Editor. Facts and features. Price, $39.99. Manufacturer, Aurora Miniatures North America, Incorporated, located at 1122 Brimley Road, Scarborough, Ontario, Canada, M1P3G3. na.auroraminiatures.com. Era, 2016 to present, varies based on paint scheme. Road names, TTX Company, parentheses standard and high reporting markings, close parentheses, Ferromex, 6 road numbers, GATX, parentheses BKTY in 6 numbers, and Laurenburg and Southern Marks, close parentheses, Utah Central Railway, 6 numbers, and Union Pacific, parentheses BKTY reporting marks, close parentheses, 12 numbers per scheme unless noted. Features, 36-inch metal wheel sets, out of gauge. Body-mounted plastic Aurora Jani couplers at correct height. Weight, 1.4 ounces, 0.2 ounces too heavy per National Model Railroad Association recommended practice 20.1. The next section is Ask Model Railroader by Cody Grivno. Selecting the right wire size. Question. I'm setting up a model railroad on a 6x12-foot table. The layout will use digital command control. What would be the best wire size or sizes to use on the layout? Signed, Greg Kurtz. Answer. Two considerations, Greg. First, that doesn't involve long bus wire lengths, so number 14 wire will be fine for an HO scale layout. I use red insulated wire for one bus wire, black for the other. But don't make a continuous loop of the bus wires. Run them for the command station, keeping them separated by at least 6 inches or very loosely twisted, and terminate them before they come back to the command station. And be sure to connect number 18 or even short number 22 feeder wires between each rail and the corresponding bus wires. Parentheses, David Popp used smaller wire for an N-scale layout. Close parentheses. Color code them black or red to match the bus wires to avoid mistakes. Never depend on rail joiners to carry current. If you solder the feeder wires to the rails, be sure the rails are sparkling clean where the joint will be made. The type of solder you use is a matter of personal choice. I use a silver bearing solder, not pure silver solder, for greater strength. Same for the feeder to bus wire connection. However, I normally use 3M brand Scotch-Lock Insulation Displacement Connectors, or IDCs, for this connection and have never had a failure when properly installed. I put one IDC on the bus wire every 6 feet or so and run a short number 18 pigtail from it. I then use a large wire nut to connect several feeders to the pigtail, thus saving on expensive IDCs. Digital command control expert Mark Schutzer usually reserves silver bearing solder for attaching points and frogs to printed circuit board ties where the extra strength is needed. For power drops on layouts, he uses tin lead solder. Mark further notes that 63/43 tin lead solder has the lowest melting point of any regular solder. 63/43 melts at 173 degrees Celsius, or 343 degrees Fahrenheit. Silver bearing non-lead solders melt in the 210 to 230 degrees Celsius range, or 410 to 450 degrees Fahrenheit. Since you don't have to get the rails as hot with tin lead solder, you aren't as likely to melt the plastic ties. Signed, Tony Coaster, contributing editor. Question: I'm planning a layout that features several railroads, including a mythical short line that has to use running rights with the larger railroads. How would these running rights work in regard to timetables and train orders? And how would clearance cards be issued? Would there be a clearance card issued by each road, or would one suffice? Signed, Ethan Amstutz. Answer: running rights are called trackage rights. The rules and timetables of the larger railroads govern the employees of the mythical short line when they're operating over that trackage. Employee timetables state this explicitly. For example, quote, conductors and engine men when operating over foreign roads will be governed by the rules and regulations and provide themselves with timetables and books of rules of such roads, end quote. Mythical's crews would also have to pass Larger's rules examinations and qualify on Larger's physical characteristics. Similarly, Larger's issues train orders and clearances. This doesn't mean that orders and clearances are always received at Larger's location. My October 2023 On Operation column, Hat Tricks, describes how different railroads cooperated on this. Signed, Jerry Ziedzik. Question: I recently acquired a Walther's Proto HO scale electromotive division FP7 and F7B set, both with ESU LockSound V5 sound decoders. The speed range on the locomotives isn't what I expected. Using an NCE Pro cab, the units crawl at speed step 30. At max speed, 128, they move along. However, they don't match any of my other locomotives at the same high speed. I tried adjusting several configuration variable settings without any speed change success. Do you have any suggestions to get the new locomotives to match the 0 to 128 speed range? Signed, Dean, via email. Answer: it sounds as though you have done essentially what we might have in this situation. The NCE Digital Command Control System has a robust service and ops mode programming capability. The fact you can't reprogram the speed control CVs suggests a deeper issue. I spoke with technical support staff at Walther's, and they indicated that they've had some issues with motor failures in the FP7, which could account for the speed range issue you described. Whether or not this could also interfere with programming is debatable, but it's also possible it might have led to other problems with the LockSound decoder. At any rate, I suggest you contact the Walther's technical support staff by phone at 414-527-0770 and describe your problem. They likely will ask you if you have measured the stall current of the motor, so you might do that in advance of the call if you have the equipment and know-how. A relatively high stall current, greater than 1 amp, apparently is a sign of a failed or failing motor. I explained the process for measuring stall current on page 99 of my book, Wiring Your Model Railroad, available at shop.trains.com or your local hobby retailer. Signed, Larry Puckett, contributing editor. Question: the historic cars for the Milwaukee, Racine, and Troy featured in the January 2025 episode of Ask Trains were very interesting. What steam and early diesel power would have been used with cars from those eras? Signed, Alfred Mullett. Answer: regarding steam and early diesel power, the Milwaukee, Racine, and Troy would probably follow the lead of larger nearby railroads, such as the Chicago and Northwestern, Milwaukee Road, and Sioux Line. Let's start with the diesels. For end cab switchers, units like the Alco S1 through S4 and Electromotive Division, or EMD, NW2, SW1, and SW7 would be reasonable. For road power, the MRNT would most likely turn to four-axle units, such as the ALCO RS1 through RS3, and EMD GP7 and GP9. It's possible the MRNT could have had a few EMD SD7 and SD9 diesels for branch line duty. For steam power, I took a look at C&NW, Milwaukee Road, and Soo Line rosters published in the Guide to North American Steam Locomotives, Revised Edition, Kalmbach Books, 2015, and wrote down some of the locomotives that all three railroads had in common when developing a hypothetical MRNT fleet. For yard duty, 0-6-0 and 0-8-0 switchers would make sense. I could see the MRNT turning to 2-6-0 moguls, 2-6-2 prairies, and 2-8-0 consolidations, and possibly 2-8-2 mikados. The Mikes would probably be the biggest steam the MRNT would have rostered. Question. In model railroader product reviews, locomotive speed is often measured and compared with the prototype. I was wondering how this is done so I can run my trains at prototypical speeds. Signed, George Smitten. Answer. When we test locomotives at the workbench, we use the Model Railroad Technologies AccuTrack 2 train speedometer. An earlier variation of the speedometer is shown in the image on the next page. Before testing, we set our NCE power cab throttle to 28 speed steps. Then we test the locomotive at step 1, or 2 if it doesn't run smooth at step 1, and step 28. Our go-to references for prototype speed information are the Locomotive Cyclopedia of American Practice and the Car and Locomotive Cyclopedia of American Practices, both from Simmons Boardman Publishing Corporation. Many of the locomotives in these references have a chart of general characteristics, which often includes the maximum speed. Sometimes there is only one top speed. If there are multiple gear ratios, several maximum speeds will be indicated. Question. I have some questions about streamlined observation cars with rounded ends. What was the purpose/use of the large light located at the end of the roofline of these cars? Is it a white light for reverse moves, or is it a red light similar to a modern-day flashing rear-end device? Could the color of the light be changed depending on the situation? Of course, there are two classification lights on the sides of the end, which I believe would have been red. Signed, Mark J. Bushnell. Answer. On Operation, columnist Jerry Zizek found the following information on the May 1, 1950 edition of the Uniform Code of Operating Rules. Quote, Paragraph 18. Oscillating red rear end lights. An oscillating red light displayed on rear of train is a signal for following trains on the same track to stop and for trains moving in the same direction on adjacent track to move at restricted speed. It must be displayed when train is stopped, on or fouling main track, or when train is moving under circumstances in which it may be overtaken. Display of the signal does not relieve flagmen from performing as prescribed by Rule 99. End of quoted section. Jerry noted that Rule 19 follows and concerns markers. This makes a clear distinction between the oscillating red rear-end lights and markers. The type of light, placement, and arrangement varied from railroad to railroad. We don't have room to get into every single variation in this column. In the photo below, Great Northern 2 Roomette Buffet Lounge Observation Car, Apaconee Mountain, features a red light and clear backup light inside a large glass housing. The two lights were controlled independently. On Milwaukee Road's Rapids series Skytop Observation Cars, a reversible Mars light was located below the window on the end. Under regular operating conditions, it was red. For backup moves, the light was clear or white. The lights on the side of the car, often teardrop-shaped, weren't classification lights. Instead, they were marker lights and would be red. Question. I'm looking for the issue of Model Railroader that features a small point-to-point layout based on the Twin Cities and Western. One of the towns modeled on the layout is Glencoe, Minnesota. Signed, Jason G. Answer. That sounds like a modern Minnesota short line in the June 2019 issue, pages 26 through 32. The story featured Alan Satkamp's 11-foot 6-inch by 21-foot 0-inch HO scale layout. The model railroad, like its prototype counterpart, had many industries revolving around agriculture. Towns modeled on the layout included Buffalo Lake, Glencoe, Granite Falls, Hector, Rubel, and Montevideo. Thank you for joining us for the Model Railroader magazine, read by Jason Consul.
You've been listening to the Model Railroader, brought to you by Trains.com. That's TRANES.com, in collaboration with AfterSight. If you've enjoyed this episode, we invite you to visit our website at AfterSight.org for more audio editions and original podcasts. For additional inquiries or to contact us, call us at 303-786-7777 or email contact@aftersight.org. Thank you for listening.